This is Production Pro. I'm Dan Rubottom. I'd like to talk with you today about 10 ways that can help you improve your edit space. So the first thing I want to talk about, and it's kind of funny in my family because we've talked about it for years. One of my first talks I did years ago at NRB was titled Get a Good Chair. And it just like seems so overly simplistic and obvious, but I invested early on in an Aeron chair years ago because, you know, as an editor or somebody involved in post-production, I'm sitting a lot. So I'm like, well, you know, let's get something that is at least going to be the best it can be for your back as possible while you're sitting. And also kind of enforce good posture because it's got the good lumbar support. It has the tilt forward function. So it kind of leans you forward a little bit, keep your back straight. What's also great is that you can keep your arms level so that you reduce fatigue by just having the right arm supports on the chair. When I started out as an intern, I was working in an edit suite that the chairs were so old that they were just like they had like the backs are just almost like 45 degree backwards. So like if you sat back, you just like almost fall over in the chair. And it was just like, why can't we get good chairs in here? And so because it was like we're spending all these hours in here, it was kind of bordering on ridiculous and funny at the same time, especially looking back, you know, and they didn't have any armrests. You have all this millions of dollars worth of equipment. But if you can't position your body in a place that's actually going to be conducive to working long hours, but also just being creative, the next thing is set your monitor height correctly. So if you've got two or three monitors on your desk in front of you and you're sitting in a good chair, get the monitors in a place where what I do is I have them just slightly below eye level. So that my head is just kind of naturally looking forward, but it's comfortable. I'm not like kind of leaning my head back or forward. And it's worked for me where it's just below eye level a little bit and a good distance away. So I'm not, you know, fatiguing my eyes from being either too far or too close. So adjust to your comfort, but it really is worth it. I mean, like just, I don't know, I've gone into different people's edit suites or their spaces where they edit and I'm like, how do you even edit like this? And they're like what? And they've gotten used to it. So I think a lot of times it takes a third party coming in and like, do you know you're leaning all the way back or do you know your head is looking up like 3 feet to a monitor above you on some old school desk that's not designed ergonomically? Anyway, just kind of want to encourage you to just kind of look at your space in a fresh way and think about, you know, maybe there's some things there's some pains and aches and pains in your body that you're like, why is my neck hurting? Well, think about how you're looking. Maybe you're looking up or down. If you got a lot of neck or upper back pain between your shoulder blades, you might be looking down too much. Your monitors might be too low. I mean, it's kind of like how we look at our smartphones, looking down at an iPhone for hours. And you're like, what am I doing? And like, my back is killing me. Well, it's ergonomics. So get your monitor set to the right height. Number three, like that, set your speakers at the right height. So in general terms, I've always heard it said that the speaker should be set right just above your eye level or your ear level. Well, I guess, are your ears lower than your eyes? Or I don't know. but basically just above your eye level so that they're kind of coming down at a slight angle, maybe 15 degrees, 10 degrees. Adjust to your lighting or to your liking, but it's going to also be dependent on your desk arrangement. You know, are there monitors in the way? Do you need to get the speakers above the monitors? If they're on your desk and say you've got one, like an iMac in front of you. You've got one screen and you've got two little monitors on your desk. Well, they're really too low when they're like that. If you're seated at the proper height where your elbow is, where your wrist is kind of straight at your keyboard, kind of back to the point number one of the chair, then if you're at that height and your speakers are sitting on the desk, that's going to be too low, and you're going to miss a lot of like high end frequencies and not really get an accurate representation. I mean, just as a test, sit down on the floor where you're speaking, you know, if your speakers are there, sit down on the floor, put your head, you know, in front of your keyboard and see if it sounds differently. It probably will sound more clear. So speakers are kind of, I think they're usually kind of designed that way. If you look in a control room, like a recording studio, the speakers are always just a little bit higher, not too high, but and definitely not too low. And you also want to get them at the right distance between each other and between you. So they should be equidistant between each other as the same distance that they are from you. Basically, you want to create a triangle, the two speakers and your head. Does that make sense? So if the speakers are too far apart, you're not going to get the correct stereo imaging. So, or, you know, in the case of if you're editing dialogue and I think you just want to have, you don't need to hear it in stereo, but it's going to create the correct imaging in the middle. If they're too far apart, it's going to be kind of going around you. It's going to be, it's not going to emulate other environments where you're going to be mixing for, like the distribution, whether it's a television or an iPhone. Next thing I'll talk about is just your environment of the room. What is the lighting like in terms of ambient light coming in? Do you have huge office windows that's letting a lot of daylight in, which is great? I love that because it makes you feel like you're not in a cocoon at night, and it's great for your mood and everything. But what I usually try to do is black out any windows with black curtains or flags on a C-stand if you want to get crazy, and just to make sure it's not reflecting on your monitor. So you don't have like a window reflection on your monitor. Your monitors are probably matte, but if they're like one of those glossy ones, oh, that'd be really bad. But even if they're kind of a matte screen, you're going to get this glare, and you're not even really aware of it. Sometimes you're like, why am I tired? Well, it's because your brain is trying to focus past that reflection you're looking at that you don't even really realize that you're looking at. So anyway, get rid of some of those reflections. Also, just reduce the overall ambient light of the room so that your monitors aren't all washed out, so that they, you know, most monitors at Rec 709 are not designed to compete with that much ambient light. And the other thing is keep your lighting, the color temperature, consistent throughout your room. So if you've got like desk lamps at like a tungsten light on them, or just like a, you know, like a little household bulb, they're going to be like 2800 Kelvin or something. Well, that's really yellow compared to the 6500 setting of your monitor. So your eyes are being confused by the different color temperatures. So you don't want to have force your eyes to constantly be adjusting. I find it kind of gives me I get it kind of a headache too, almost, when I've got different color temps. It's just, it kind of messes with you. So just try to keep them consistent. I have a little Felix LED light on my desk that has multiple color temperatures, and I have it set to like 6,500. So that gives kind of a nice little base light over to my left of my monitors where I work, like if I have any paperwork or just, you know, just so it's not too dark in here. And then I also have a Flanders monitor bias light behind my OLED screen so that it's a little USB powered thing. That's great. And it just bounces off the white wall behind the monitor so that it's basically the same color temperature of that display. And plus it just helps reduce eye fatigue again, with not so much contrast of just looking at a monitor in a dark room. So it gives a little bias, you know, just kind of elevates the ambient light a little bit so that it's easier to look at. All right. Another thing I want to talk about is consider getting a standing desk. There's so many of them out there now. They're really popular. I think it's really great for your health. You know, keep you standing. Sitting is the new smoking, right? So for your health, stand up. I don't have one right now, so I'm speaking to myself. I need to get one. But years ago, where I used to work at Lakewood Church, I got a standing desk there. And that was kind of, at least in the editing field, it was kind of at the beginning of that curve when I didn't really see them used much. And after I got one, then the rest of the office, they all got them and they loved them. So I really think it helps just to kind of break it up, like sit down, bring it up, stand up, keeps your energy up too. And also keeps the blood flowing and, it's better for your back too. So you're not always just sitting in that chair. Also, number seven, look at getting a tablet, a Wacom tablet or Wacom as they used to say it. I don't know what it's called anymore, but I've been using it for probably about 20 years ever since I used an old Avid Illusion on a SGI box. It came with a Wacom tablet and I never looked back. I was like, this is amazing. I use it for everything as a total mouse replacement, and I use it as for every application I use, from Resolve to After Effects to Premiere. And it's great because it has like a absolute position from the tablet that maps with an absolute point on your desktop. So it's just, I don't have to like pick up a mouse and feel like I'm always trying to get it wheeled over to the right position, especially with two large monitors. It's just too much real estate for a mouse to cover. Trackpads, I mean, if you like them, that's great, but I feel like they're just too small. But I map my Wacom tablet to only use a portion of it. I use the medium size, and I map it so I use about two-thirds of it. So it gives me a nice, comfortable place to put my wrist below where I've mapped it. So if you look at the 16:9 aspect of the preferences for it, you would just, in how I do it, I mapped it to the upper left corner. So I basically reduced the whole thing to the upper left portion. That works really great for me. Another thing that it helps with is reducing fatigue in your fingers and your hands. Years ago, I was working on an Avid. I was just working so much that I was just working normal, I guess, for my job. And my fingers started to hurt just from the clicking, you know, my index finger, my right hand. And when I switched back to the tablet, it pretty quickly, although gradually, went away. And I really have never suffered with it ever since. So it really helps avoid carpal tunnel, at least in my experience. It's less effort. The pen can be used just a simple little tap down is a double click. All right. Number eight, if you can, depending on if you're at a facility, you know, if you're working for a company, a church or a business, and you can get another room as a machine room, or if you're in a bigger facility or you've already got a machine room, then see if you can get your computer moved to that room with the drives and just run, you know, either USB extenders or use the Cat 5 extender, Cat 5 to USB extenders, so that you can get all that noise out of your room. Also gets the heat out of the room. And if you can't move it to another room, then just consider moving it away from your sitting position. Move it under your desk, maybe into a rack, so it gets that sound, the direct sound of the fans off of your ears, so you can hear your speakers clearly. So that's another great way of just keeping your room in a more creative kind of mode where you're not competing with that extra sound. So, and that's another great point, is just treating your room or arranging your room in such a way that it's good for acoustics. It doesn't have to be as good as a recording studio, but at least try to avoid parallel walls that have hard surfaces on them. So if you're in a typical square room, look at trying to get two of those walls, two adjacent walls, treated with sound so there's no slap. And that's why you'll see that a lot of recording studios are built with non-parallel walls, so that, you know, any kind of echo a reverb happens naturally and has a natural decay. It's not got that ugly kind of slap, pat, 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 pat. If you've got a room that's got wood floors or tile floors, put down a big throw rug or something. You can also just, you know, it's not pretty necessarily, but get some ferny pads off a grip truck or get some blankets to put them on the wall. So you don't want to be so dead to where you're like in a closet, but you don't want to be so live that you're hearing all sorts of reflections that's really tainting how you're hearing. Even if you're just editing, quote, just editing, you know, the dialogue or you're the editor and you're not going to do the final sound, well, you still need to hear that sound clearly and without a bunch of distracting echo. You know, also make sure there's not a lot of noise coming into the room. Make sure your speakers aren't buzzing, because the last thing you want to do is not hear buzz in your actual audio, because you had buzz coming out of your speakers that just masked it. So you just think it's there all the time. Well, make sure that's not the case, and so you're hearing it clearly. If you can't get that, get some good headphones, $50 Audio Technicas or Sony's, and make sure you're hearing clearly. Number 10, look at getting dedicated controllers. Are there some things that you do over and over that would really help if you could just reach up to one dedicated surface that did that for you instead of having to figure out how to do it with different keystrokes on a keyboard? A great example of that, of course, is the Blackmagic control surface for Resolve. I've got the mini panel and it's just phenomenal. So if you do any kind of color correcting, color grading that's more than, you know, two or three times a week, or just, you know, depending on the project, it's really worth it. Like if you're going to spend a lot of time for a couple of weeks on something, then man, I cannot recommend it enough. It's so helpful. Another thing you can look at is just even something on more of the inexpensive side is I've got a device called a Stream Deck. It's by Elgato and it's under $200, I think. And I can map applications to be launched from it. I can map keyboard shortcuts, combination of keyboard shortcuts. So like instead of like, so I've got something on keyboard, say like mapped in Premiere, like shift option command R or something for whatever you want to do, ripple delete or something. Although I'd probably just hit the ripple delete button, forward delete. But anyway, so you can map all that to one button. So like what I do is I have I hit Premiere and then it opens up another folder of buttons. And then I've got a bunch of keyboard shortcuts just highlighted and it's like color coded and everything. So I have like the workspaces mapped to, so like edit, audio and color modes. There's something I do all the time is just enable track. I have it mapped there. I can map a lot of these things to the keyboard, but I don't know. There's so many things that I have like ingrained in my mind that are already in the keyboard. I don't really like adding more. I don't know. It's just a great way to do it visually. And like I said, with, you know, multiple modifiers can be mapped to one button. So that's really, I think it's biggest strength to me, but I have them for each application I use a lot of in Resolve too. Even though I have the control panel, I've also got a few things like that aren't on the control panel, such as save memory 1, 2, 3, also recall memory 1, 2, 3, next version, previous version, that kind of thing. So that's it for this week, and thanks so much for listening. Let me know what you think and leave a comment if there's anything you'd like me to cover for future episodes. You can reach me at my website, danrubottom.com. That's danrubottom.com. And on Instagram, Vimeo, Twitter, and Facebook at Dan Rubottom. I hope you enjoyed the podcast, and hopefully there's something in there that can help you. Finally, I'll leave you with this. John 14:27. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Learn the craft, be creative, and go make something great.